Hi everyone, welcome to Cloud Cover. I'm Chris Reisner. Now today, before we get into our guest and everything else, we thought we'd share a little bit of news. So as you may have noticed, we haven't had a show in a little while. It's because we've been on a little bit of a break. And then also, Hashi Bai, our former co-host, has actually left the team and gone in to do bigger and better things. I don't know how I get bigger and better than this, but he's left. So now, Tiago, who probably looks a little familiar, he's going to be here as our new co-host. So you'll be seeing him probably just about every week going forward.
Hey, everyone. Looking forward to it.
Great. Absolutely. And today, our special guest probably looks familiar. He's been on the show more times than he deserves. Brady Gaster, welcome back.
Thanks.
Would you like to tell the people that don't know who you are and what you do, kind of who you are?
Sure, yeah, I can totally do that. Before I do, I'll alt-tab back to my browser here. Like Chris said, my name is Brady Gaster. I used to be the host of one of these shows. It wasn't this one, though.
I think so, yeah.
It was Nathan. Corey and I used to be hosts here for the WebCamp show. We used to be on a team with these guys. So I work on a site that you should probably know about. It's called docs.microsoft.com. If you've ever gone to any of our other properties like MSDN or TechNet, you know that, you know, if you're a developer, you know, the question's always been, if I'm a developer, I go to MSDN. If I'm an IT pro guy, I go to TechNet. Mm-hmm. Well, we wanted to kind of solve that problem for you. So now we've got everything in one place. Those of you watching this show are probably Azure folks. So what you'll see is at the very beginning, we've got a big fat blue button here. I'll click on that. And you'll see now we're into all the different Azure stuff. Now, where you'll see me working a lot of times is in this tab, the SDK and tools area. And this is where we have all the different reference sites for the .NET SDK, the Java SDK, which I did a demo on here at one point and earned the towel. Thank you. long story, you just go back in the archives. Another thing we're working on is the REST documentation. So we have API docs for all the different Azure management APIs. And we're going to have other APIs documented out there. We've talked to teams like Cortana, teams like Office. Basically, if you have a REST API, we're going to have you out there in the near future. And then, obviously, we've got documentation on all of our CLI experiences. You've probably done shows here on the CLI.
We had most recently about the 2.0 preview. Yeah,
cool. Yeah. Who did you have on the show for that one? Was that?
Oh, I'm not very good with remembering names.
He'll
hate me now, but thanks, Brady.
That's okay. That's fine.
So if you're a developer and want to learn more about how to develop for Azure, this is the place, docs.microsoft.com.
This is the place you want to go. This is absolutely the place you want to go if you want to develop on not just Azure, but everything else. You know, if I were to go back to the main docs page, you'll see we have ASP.NET here. I also worked with my old team, the ASP.NET team, to get this stuff all lit up. So we have everything kind of in one nice place, and we're going to have all the SDKs and APIs all in one nice place as well.
Is this samples as well as reference?
Or yes. We have a really interesting samples story coming. A guy who's, I think, been on this show before, Den Delamarski, on my team, is working on this awesome technology wherein we've heard from customers for years, you know, I grabbed this sample, it worked, there were a couple compilation issues, I had to fix it, yada yada. So what we've wanted to do is we've wanted to take that sample code and do unit tests on it to just make sure that that code is always up to date. That's something that my buddy Dan is working on. Eventually what you'll see is that any of the samples that would pop up either in our conceptual documentation or our reference documentation, all that stuff will have been tested before it was published.
Nice.
So you can sort of have more confidence that the code that you would copy and paste into your own applications is actually going to work.
Awesome.
Yeah, so you're going to have that capability in the near future. We have a lot of ideas here. Another thing we've talked about doing is doing kind of a task-based approach. So, like, I want to create a storage account. I just want to see the code. I'm a Node developer. I go to a thing and I just see just that code. So if you have any ideas like that around documentation or any documentation sites that you're interested in, especially in the REST API area, that's a big one for me, and we have a lot of things we want to improve on the REST API docs. Feel free to get in touch with me. Twitter is definitely the best way. These guys can attest.
So what's your Twitter handle?
My Twitter handle is Brady Gaster.
All one
word.
Usually we actually do that at the end of the show, so we'll just call it here
Brady Gaster. So you still do the animation. That's good.
We try to.
And I have to say, I'm excited. This is my first day in the new studio.
It's a very nice studio.
I don't feel claustrophobic at all. I'm probably not going to break a sweat, much to your chagrin. this is great. Yeah. It's a great new studio. I'm excited to see you guys moving in.
Awesome.
So the main focus of this talk, I guess, is for you to cover the
tools.
Azure tools for code. So
if
you mentioned that you're a lot focused on the SDKs part.
Yes.
And you worked on an extension for Visual Studio Code for people that want to talk to Azure.
That's exactly right.
Yeah.
But the reason I wanted to talk about the docs first is because there's a nice little segue into it. So I've got, I actually have a slide deck. This is also a first. I've never come in here with a slide deck. So what we've done is we've kind of put together an open source extension, totally written in the wild. I'll link you to the GitHub here in a minute. It's just a set of Azure tools for VS Code. And I'll tell you the etymology of it, how it all came to be. Is that I obviously work in the reference documentation area. So you see I've got a slide up here, reference-driven development, and the sub-caption is build out an idea on a platform about which you know nothing using documentation. Now, why on earth would I want to do that? Well, I'm the reference PM, and we've got .NET and we've got Java already on there, and the next thing we want to add is going to be Node. Mm-hmm. Chris and I go way back. He's seen me squirrel around and try to write Node code. You know how great I am at it, not at all. So I knew that, you know, from the perspective of a customer learning how to use the Azure SDK for Node, I was probably about the best guy out there. I was on the SDK team, so I understand the APIs and I understand the .NET and the Java side, but I've never used the Node SDK. And since my next doc set, as we call it, that we want to move over from GitHub.io over to docs.microsoft.com is the Azure Node SDK, I figured I would just go out and use the old documentation or the current documentation, just learn what I like about it, what I don't like about it, and what I would need as a developer getting started on it. And at the same time, I was looking at the awesome documentation on the code.visualstudio.com site on how to use the VS Code extensibility model. So I was literally partying in a new language, a new SDK, and a new tool set on purpose just to try some stuff out. And my thinking was, if I can get it logging in, I think I can probably, you know, build some cool features. Well, as is the case with every pet project, things snowballed. And now we have a pretty good list of features. The list of features that we wanted to have out for the 1.0 framework, or the 1.0 version, was ARM template support. We wanted to be able to search the gallery. We're not searching the gallery yet. We're searching the Quick Starts repository, which I think might even have more good stuff in it. I think I heard something like 7,000 different templates are out there. So you can actually go out and search that repository directly from within VS Code. You can pull it down and party on it, make tweaks to your parameters and whatnot, and then you can actually deploy it directly out from code. Before we did that, we did some stuff around app service and storage accounts. And what's nice is we've actually had a couple of contributions. Since it is totally open source, here's the URL, github.com. It's in my organization. This is not an official Microsoft product. It's also published under a non-official gallery marketplace guy, mine. So you could actually go out and you could do a contribution. We've actually had quite a few commits. You can see we've had over 130 commits. We've had 5 or 6 contributors. We'll talk about those guys here in a moment. If you wanted to look at the code, you could go out and do that yourself. I built this extension using Node.js. If you want to write extensions in VS Code, you can either use TypeScript or you can use Node. I use Node. I didn't want to add a completely new language to the bailiwick of things to learn.
And we'll make sure the link to that is below in the show notes
cool.
as well.
So there is. Real quickly, before I give you guys any demos, I want to point out some contributors. The guys over on the left-hand side, Christos, Ian, Anjay, and Stuart, those are all internal guys. Actually, everybody on the screen is. But they are guys all over the world who just saw the project and thought, this is interesting. I have some ideas for it. Stuart and Anjay kind of gave us some ideas. Anjay did a couple of commits. Ian started doing some commits. He read all the storage functionality.
Okay.
And then Christos has recently committed things like Key Vault and Batch.
Nice.
So we've got all kinds of good stuff out there. And then obviously I'm going to thank Chris, Sean, and Wade from the code team. And my old colleagues, Amar and Mark from the SDK team, because I asked them a lot of questions on Node. I am awful at Node. Feel free to snark in the GitHub issues. But they were very helpful, so I want to give you guys a round of applause for not only your contributions, but your support. And then how do you get it? Obviously, you could go out to AKAMS, VS Code Azure Tools. That's the shortened link that I've got. I'll pull it up in the browser here momentarily. Or if you just already have VS Code and you want to do it from directly from the VS Code, I can show you this here in a minute. You go to the extensions panel, just do a search for Azure Tools. It'll be the first thing that pops up.
Great.
So with all that said, let's get rid of the deck, and I'll do a couple of little demos for you here.
Great.
Any questions?
Not yet. Let's see this in action.
Okay, cool. So let's see it in action. So here's the code site, codevs.com. Here's the marketplace item for this guy. See if we have about 6,000 installs so far. I'm actually collecting telemetry on it in App Insights. I'm not saving any private information. Don't panic. You can turn it off if you want to. All that's documented directly in the page on how to turn it on and off. Definitely have some traffic on it, which is exciting. And then one thing I do want to call out is that we have taken a dependency on another extension called the Azure Resource Manager, which you'll hear me refer to in the conversation today as ARM, because it's an acronym and we like those guys. We've taken a dependency on this, so when you install the Azure tools or VS Code, it'll also pull down this extension and install it. And the idea behind it is, if you do a search for an ARM template in the Quick Starts gallery, this extension will kind of give you colorization support, schema validation, and IntelliSense, and all that good stuff that you want, you know, from the perspective of a developer who needs to stay efficient. So we've actually taken a dependency on that as well. So what I'll do here is I'll just open up VS Code, and I'm going to do Command-Shift-X to open up my extensions palette. You'll see right here that we've got everything done, but if you need to know how to find it and you've already got it, you would just do a search for Azure Tools. It'll be the first thing that you'll see pop up. We're currently in version 1.2.1. So I just want to point that out. So what can we do with it? Well, the first thing we can do is we can log in. So what I'll do is Control-Shift-P, and you'll see that we have a list of commands, and I'll just type Azure just to filter all those commands. What I was thinking as I was doing this is I'm kind of a keyboard guy. I don't really use the mouse very much. I know hotkeys for everything. I never want to take my hands off the keyboard because it's how I'm most efficient.
And that fits well with VS Code.
It totally does. Yeah. It totally does. Because it's got like an integrated terminal. I was also thinking a lot of folks that are on Mac or Linux, they're going to be using the command line tools. So they'll be flipping back and forth. So that's kind of good. So you won't see a lot of GUI sugar here today. There's not much of that. If you've gotten familiar with Visual Studio, you know about this thing called the Cloud Explorer or the Storage Explorer.
Yep.
That's really good. I'd love to maybe have a tree view in here at one point, but we're not there yet.
So
obviously the first thing you have to do is you have to log in. I could do the typing right here. I'll just do a type here for login. And what's going to happen is it's going to go out, it's going to hit the device login, and it's going to get me a code. I'm going to go ahead and read the message. It says, this code has been copied to your clipboard. It's gone out, hit the API, gotten the code, put the code into my clipboard. Now I click sign in. It's going to bounce me out to the device login page. I'm just going to paste that in, and it looks like it's the command line interface because I'm using the same code for it. See that it's going to see I'm already logged in. So I'll go ahead and log into my account here. And I'm actually logging and using an organizational account. If you wanted to log in using a Microsoft account like an Outlook or Live account, you could actually set up a tenant ID. It's one of the configuration parameters that we install with the tool. You get IntelliSense and everything. You just go into file settings and you can actually set your tenant ID. So then you'd be able to log in using an MSA.
Okay, and is there documentation about how you do that?
There is indeed. All that's documented on the extension page. I could actually show you really quickly if I go to code, preferences. Code, preferences, settings. I go here. What you would do is you would get your tenant ID out of the portal, and you go into this guy, and we even give you this stuff, Azure Tenant ID, and you just paste it in here.
Great.
So we do that. And if you're not into telemetry, if that makes you nervous for whatever reason, you can actually turn that off using the enable telemetry. Its default is true. I'll set it to false here. So we would turn that off. Chris is laughing at me because I haven't learned how to use a Mac keyboard yet. My team's having fun with that too. So now I'm logged in, everything is good. What can I do with the tools? I'll do Control-Shift-P and I'll quickly do I'll type the word browse. You'll see that we have two browse options. One of them is I can browse a particular resource in the portal. Another one is I can browse a resource group. Let's go ahead and start with that one. I'll do browse resource group. It's gone out. It gives me a list of my resource groups. I can select the one that I want and it will open up directly to that blade in the portal. For whatever reason, this guy does not want to stay logged in. So I apologize for numerous logins. But you'll see we've gone directly to the portal, right to the blade in question that I want to party on. So you don't have to worry about fumbling in the portal and bookmarking URLs. You can get to everything you want directly from within here. But I want to actually create a web app. I'm a web developer, so everything I'll do today is kind of going to be around web apps. You could use the template support to do things like create VMs and whatever else. But what I'll do first is I'll just do web. And what I did was I created two modes to create a web or a function app. The first mode is simple, and the idea behind that is if I just tell it the name of a web app I want to create, it's going to create the web app, the hosting plan, and the resource group, kind of all with that naming convention. So if I go out here and I just do the simple mode, because we like simplicity, shall I go web app 01? You already have one like that?
No.
Okay, I'll hit OK.
I have 00.
Okay, and then what you'll see down here, creating, so you're zero base. It'll say creating server farm. It's already created the resource group. Now the next thing it'll do is it'll actually go out and start creating the web app. Probably by the time I can introduce that topic, the web app will have been created. Cool. And what I could do next is I could do a Control Shift P, again, do a browse. I'll do browse, see it's already created. I could do browse in portal. I could type Geogo. I could select the sites, Geogo web app. It's gonna make me log in again, even though if I click this. And this will take us right to the portal blade specific to the web app that I just finished creating.
Cool.
So you can just go ahead and party on it, create it. If I actually had code in this guy, what I could do in here is I could set this thing up to do, I could set this guy up as a Git deployed site.
Yeah.
And then I could just do, I could add that Azure Git remote to my local Git repository, and I could just push up code and we'd be lit to go. So that's a good thing. Now.
So that could be a good step to add to the tools as well to enable Git.
I talked about that a lot. In the next demo, I think that'll make a little bit more sense.
Right.
That is a step that I could do in the wizard. So if I show you the more advanced flow, Control Shift P here and then I do web, I'll do the advanced flow. It'll say, you know, what do you want your web app to be? Chris, I can spell Chris right, Reisner, web app 01. Now what it's going to do is it's going to say, do you want to create a new resource group or use an existing one? I would create a new one. And it's going to say, do you want to use an existing plan? And it'll walk you through that entire process.
Okay.
And this advanced flow, I could say, do you want to add Git?
Yeah.
And then I could just go ahead and add Git as the way to do it. Mm-hmm. But like, what if you're on GitHub now? Do I have a question? What Git do you want?
Yeah.
You know, things get a little wonky.
Now, having not looked at the code for your extension yet,
yep.
Is all that stuff, like each of those dialogues, something you had to program in? Or are you basically going off like the ARM template, for example, that says, hey, this is a thing, this is a question the ARM template will ask. Let's ask it as part of the wizard.
No. What I'm doing, the actual code for this, there's a lot of promises, a lot of JavaScript. Each command has kind of its own thing that it'll do.
Mm-hmm.
Inside of the VS Code extensibility model, there's a method called showQuickList.
Mm-hmm.
And you give it an array of strings.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm literally doing all that. Mm-hmm. Like in each command. That's
okay.
Kind of a manual thing. I'm not asking questions per template. So far, I haven't even used a template yet.
Okay.
So that's kind of the next demo that I wanted to talk about.
Okay.
And that's when we get into the Git stuff.
Mm.
So what I'll do here is I'll do another Control Shift P, and I'm going to do a quick type for search. I'm going to search the Azure Resource Manager, you know, template quick starts on GitHub. Now I'm just doing a search for web app. I'll just type web app here. And it's going to go out. It's going to search the Quick Start repo on GitHub.
Mm-hmm.
If you want to show the link for that in the show notes,
yep, we will have
good.
That down there.
We'll just go out to that. And I know that what I want to do is I want to create a web app that will look at a GitHub repository so that when I create the app, part of what it'll do is it'll wire me up to that GitHub repository.
Right.
So all I have to do is commit there. So what I've done is I've pulled down a list of everything in that Quick Start repository that has web app in it, and now I can just filter that list by typing Git.
Nice.
And what it's going to do is it's going to pull down both the Azure Deploy JSON file, which is the ARM template,
mm-hmm.
and it's going to pull down the template parameters as well. So I'll just say is GitHub backed site on cloud cover. We'll just call it that, and we'll call this guy Geogo plan. I'll save this. Now, what you'll see is that if I had a workspace open, if you don't have a workspace open, it'll bark at you.
Mm.
So you need to open a folder because I got to have somewhere to put the template
and
download
to
it.
To save these files. Yeah.
So we just have a convention here. We just use a folder called ARM templates.
Mm.
If we started parameterizing that would slow down dev.
Mm.
You got to guess how to follow the path.
Yeah,
I didn't
sure.
want to worry about that. If you don't like that convention, feel free to create an issue. And if you create an issue, feel free to go ahead and clone the repository in your own fork, download it. Implement the fix for the issue that you submitted, and then reference the issue when you send me a pull request, which I will accept.
Okay,
so if I point that out, please, we love open source. So what I'll do is I'll flip over here to my template, and you'll see that I have a couple of other parameters that I could party on. So the first one is going to be SKU, because I don't want to spend any money today, as much as Chris would like me to.
It would be nice.
So I'll do this. I'll type in value, and you see that I'm getting that IntelliSense that we get directly from the ARM editor tools.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
So we get all that. So I'll just do F1 here for free. And if I scroll down, you'll see that I have a couple of other parameters. Here's one, repo URL, and then obviously there's branch. So if I wanted to party on a specific branch, I could. I want to once again thank our buddy David, because I'm going to be using a template a web application that he's got created in his own test repository.
Mm-hmm.
So the next thing that I would do here is just paste in repo URL, And then I will go out here. Did I do something? I forgot.
Go on.
Thank you, sir. Shago has seen me demo before. He knows what happens. So I'll do this. And I could edit this if I want to. I'm not going to because I actually just want to use Dave's. But let's say Chris has his blog up in. Actually, we could do that. I don't want to do that. I'll just leave it at Dave's. What I was thinking about doing is maybe lighting up Mads' mini blog or something like that. Mm. I could give it a different repo URL at that point. Do you have one you want me to try?
I don't know if it'll work because you have to run the, well, like the one I've got would run Jenkins, or not Jenkins.
Well, here, let me try this. Let me go out to GitHub. Real quick. And I'm just going to go to GitHub and I'm going to do a quick search for sample Node.js Express app. See if we get one. TypeScript, vulnerable app. What do you think? I'm going to do a really simple one. Could do this. I found one last night, but I think I just did Node, sample Node Express app. I want something really, really, really easy. Sorry, I'm wasting your time. Node Express. This looks pretty basic.
Sure.
Looks pretty basic. We'll try that one. So I'll just take that URL, and we will back out the change we just did. And I'll paste in this URL. If this doesn't work, it's not my fault. It's somebody else's fault.
I'm not sure he actually knows what he's doing, so I hope there's nothing bad about that site.
We have not looked at the content of that site, so we have no idea what's going to happen. So we've got the repo URL set. Do we want to do this, or do we just want to use Dave's?
It's up to you.
We'll do it. We'll live on the edge.
All right.
Okay. So I want to go ahead and do deploy. And what it's going to say is it's going to look through the ARM templates folder, and it's going to say, you have a couple of subfolders, one, two, whatever. Mm-hmm. I've only got one here, so I'm going to go ahead and select the 201 deploy. I'm going to do create new resource group. We have no idea what will happen here. I'll click OK, and now what's happening is it'll say it's already created that resource group. Now it's actually deploying this template. So if I once again do a Control-Shift-P, do a search for browse, and I do the browse the resource group, I'll go to we have no idea what will happen here. That's going to make me log in again. It doesn't make me do that for MSA, only for my org account.
Interesting.
So that's kind of odd. So what you'll see is that we've already created the resource group. I've created the hosting plan that I have to have to basically be a container, if you will, not to surprise the Docker people and call an app plan a container. But I've got my container out here. If I do a refresh, you'll see there's my web app. You'll see the status is indeed deploying. If I were to click on that web app and then go down to, checking my time, go down to my deployment options in here, what we should see is that this app is currently being deployed from GitHub. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So apparently he's done some cleanup on this app. Maybe he's cleaned up the language. We're just going to cross our fingers on this one. We'll pause in case we have to edit out the content. But you'll see that now what we're doing is we're deploying an app from GitHub. We have no idea the contents of which. Mm. We could party on it if we want to and go crazy. Now, what I will say here, this is, you know, I'm an old school, diehard, you know, fan of ASP.NET. So what I could do here is really quickly do go to my terminal. And what I'll show you is that I've got my terminal open and I've got all the .NET tools installed. Mm. So I'm going to cd into my source folder here, and then I'm going to do yo ASP.NET. And what we would end up getting is sort of a walkthrough. I could actually create a simple little web application. I will do simple. I like Bootstrap. We'll call this guy Cloud Cover ASP.NET Demo. It's going to go ahead and use Yeoman to create that guy for me. Mm-hmm. I could do cd cloud cover into that capitalization cloud cover demo, and I could do .NET restore. And once I do the restore, I could do a .NET build, and then I would do code dot to open this guy up. And if I wanted to commit this to, if I wanted to create a web app and then deploy this directly using Git, I could, because I could just create a Git repository directly in my site. .NET build. Let's go back over here. It looks like it's gone. Let's see.
I'm going to cross my fingers.
Cross my fingers. Let's not get Chris and Chaga fired. Looks like it's, that didn't load. So that's interesting. So apparently he needs to fix his code. So that's a bad story. So we don't want to tell that story. So what I could do here is I'll tell a better story. I'm going to do code real quickly and show you kind of a real walkthrough. Now, again, I don't want to do this right now. So what I'll do here is I'll log into this guy as well. Missed my window. Log into this guy. Click sign in. I have to paste in my code here, and it knows I'm already logged in, so everything should go pretty easily there. Of course, it's going to make me log in there again. Now what I could do is, once again, to Control-Shift-P, web, I could create a simple app, .NET app built on a Mac, deployed using code. Hit OK. Now that's just going to go out and create a very simple web app for me. Mm-hmm. It's also going to create the resource group and everything that I need for it based on that simple name. And I could, while that is creating, I could go over here. I could initialize my Git repository and just do an initial commit on it because I'm done with my code just to get my ASP.NET app working. It looks like that finished creating. So I could do a browse here, select my portal, Mac. There's my sites. That's going to bounce me out again. This shouldn't happen for you if you log in with an MSA, but demo gods are not being good to me with that one. I'll go ahead and go to this guy. And now what you'll see is that I could go down to my deployment options and configure this guy up. I could do a local Git repository, and I could click on OK. That should be everything I need. That's already set me up. Now I can go to this guy, copy out this URL, and I could even do this using the built-in guy right here. I could do git remote add Azure, paste this guy in. So there's that. And since I've got everything committed, I could literally just do push to. It's going to open up my list of remotes. Hopefully I can remember this. That might be the right username and password. Uh-oh. So I'd have to change that guy. Apologies for that. But you get the idea. I could do a git here, and I could push it on up. I want to show you this. Oh, that's what I did, the wrong login. Mm. So I'll do push to this guy, channel 9. Oh, one more time. Sorry, guys. I had a shortcut key set up for that. Push this guy. I'll do it one more time. If it doesn't work, we'll call it good. Got my password. So now it's pushing up to the remote.
Okay.
So what's going to happen now is I'm actually pushing an ASP.NET app that I built using the Yeoman template mm-hmm. on a Mac and open it up from within VS Code, provisioned a brand new app in Azure.
From code.
Then I created, I basically configured that guy using the portal that I got to from code, mm-hmm. and I configured my local Git repository, downloaded my remote URL, initialized my GitHub repo locally in code, and then just added everything in, and now I'm pushing it back up to that remote, and it will deploy this .NET app directly out to my brand new app service container. In a matter of probably seconds.
And then you have a couple of other options. You could have gone the advanced web app create option to select a few more values there.
Yep.
Or you could have gone to the quick start templates,
yep.
picked up an ARM template that matches the web app they want to get created.
Yep.
That would add that folder to your project, to your structure here,
exactly.
The ARM-templates. With that template in
That's
there.
That's exactly right. That's
and
exactly
then you
right.
could push that up to create the web app
yep.
and then commit the code from
to
here
GitHub.
To and GitHub. Was, or,
yeah, it's yeah. exactly right. And to show you what that would look like, if I go back over to this guy,
yeah.
if I were to do a search here, so this is this is actually my source code for that ASP.NET app. Like you're saying, I could do a search for web app. I could type in git. That's actually going to pull down that ARM template mm-hmm. and put it right here as one of the yeah. resources in my mm-hmm. actual code. Now, if I had a GitHub repository at this point, I could configure that GitHub repository in my template parameters instead of using David's. And then whenever I commit my code to that GitHub repository, it'll just do the connection
to
light up.
Trigger. Mm-hmm.
So yeah, you could do all that.
So there's a few options if you want to
yes.
develop your web app with code, use the Azure tools that you built to
yep.
sync up with Azure.
Yep. And one thing I was really thinking of when I worked on the Visual Studio app service tools team, we had this period of time where we were kind of emulating portal features within the tools. Well, the portal goes a lot faster than the tools can go. Like, as the portal can just, they hit push, and it's a new website.
Right.
You know, for Visual Studio, it's in the box. So we have to go through the ship train and do all the tests and all that goodness, get the WebPI installer up to date and all that happiness. So just shipping the portal is easier. I didn't want to play that game when it came to the VS Code stuff, because VS Code is more an editor than a full-blown IDE. You don't expect to have a lot of those features in there.
Yeah.
So I just made it easy for you to get to the other tool, being the portal, directly from within code on any of the resources that you wanted to get to, again, directly from the keyboard, so you don't have to go clicking around.
Mm-hmm. Even I did a little bit of work on the VSTS tools for Visual Studio Code, and it took me a little while to just change my mind from having worked with Visual Studio and all the UI that you can create for the stuff that you're building to Visual Studio Code, where it's more related to code and you don't want to have lots of pop-ups in front of the user. So you use the status bar at the bottom and the commands at the top to iterate the things that the user can do.
Exactly.
So if someone is creating an extension, that's something to look out for, is don't expect to have a lot of UI options to give to your user and follow what you built for the Azure tools, for example.
Now, there are a lot of folks who want to see more UX in VS Code. I had an interesting conversation with one of the code team members, Chris, in Building 18 a couple days ago, and he said if you could do anything to change VS Code and make it more snazzy, what would you do? And I said, I wouldn't want to have this conversation. Like, I like it as it is.
Right.
I think that it's successful as it is. It's been nominated for, like, you know, innovative, you know, software awards because it is what it is. Like, it gets out of your way. And I think that that's rewarding. And you can see what we did here is we did something, you know, I would have thought we could have done when I came to Microsoft. I built a .NET app using the command line and VS Code on a Mac and then deployed it to Azure. All using completely open source and free tools. So that's you know, that's kind of exciting. I'm excited about it. Just so you can see the different commands we've got, there's sort of the command list again. I could actually go out and do other stuff. I don't want to spend any more anybody's time. You mentioned the toolbar. Down here in the toolbar, we've got, if you have multiple subscriptions, you could actually click this guy, and it'll show you the pick list of all your subscriptions. You pick the one you want, and that kind of memorizes it. And then the same thing for regions. You could select that, and then it'll give you all the regions.
Great.
And once you select a region, it's sticky. And when I say sticky, we're not persisting your tokens or anything to file. This is all, like, when you close VS Code down and you reopen it again, you're going to have to log in.
Right.
You know, log back in and start set your region and all that. So
right.
we wanted to kind of keep with the spirit of code and get out of everybody's way.
Mm-hmm.
But there are some convenience features we could add in if we wanted to, or take your pull request if you want to submit.
Sure.
Configuring token keys in the workspace for the user. As a service principal to interact with Azure, for example, that could be something
that would be
to
good.
Add. Yeah.
That'd be good. So what you're talking about might be a configuration item. Yeah. So I could take the whatever the
token is. So you don't have to keep re-logging. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That'd be good. That's actually a great idea.
Yeah.
I could totally do that.
Look forward to Tiago's eventual pull request.
I look forward to his pull request. So just to kind of give you a quick URL, AKAMS, and then that's the wrong one because I always mistype it. I should just make a second one. VS Tools. Azure Code, I think.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I had up on the board. Yeah. Oh, that's not it. Crap. I could go back to my deck. Anyway, it's out there.
So we'll make sure the link's down below.
Make sure the link's down below. If you don't want to remember the link, just remember install VS Code, and then go out and just do a search in the extensions widget for the Azure Tools for VS Code. And you'll find it. And we'd love to have more stars. We'd love to have issues, ideas, anything you want to think about. We also have support for Key Vault, and that's something that Christos is thinking about adding more stuff to. Up to now, pretty much everything we've done has been around provisioning.
Mm.
We want to add the ability for you to interact with the service as well. So if you have stuff you want to secure using Key Vault, you can maybe select it in the editor and go send it to Key Vault. It comes back with your secure string. We haven't done that, but we have a lot of ideas.
Yeah. One cool thing about this work that you have, and because it's open source, is if you want to see how to interact with Azure from Node, this is a good repo to look at.
Exactly.
And look at the packages that they're depending on, you know, the Node packages for Azure and other packages that they might be using. That's a handy repo to look at.
Yep. And we've got everything in the changelog, so you can kind of see as we've done the versions, like everything that we've added. We've got links to things in there as well. Dependencies, you can see we've taken a dependency on the ARM tools. I wish I could actually get to the GitHub repository from here, but just type it in, be lazy. If I go out to, this is the repository, we've got a contribution guide out there. We don't have a lot of tests, want to be clear, we don't have a lot of tests. If you want to add commands, we ask that you put them in here. Mm-hmm. You could look at the code that loads the commands and figure out kind of what we're doing. If I were to just open up extension.js, what you'll see that we're doing inside of this guy is we're literally iterating through that commands folder and kind of making some assumptions about the way each command file is written, that it has a method called create command. And we just kind of wrap it around a state object, not exactly elegant. This is the state object. The next piece of refactoring I want to do is to wipe this out and make everything a little bit more stateless. That's going to be a large refactoring effort. This is one of the holdovers of Brady not knowing code or the extension model and, you know, kind of hacking the state. But the code's definitely gotten a lot cleaner. And then if you want to see what we're saving with telemetry, you can see it right here. We're not saving any personal data, anything, you know, publicly recognizable. But we are seeing some data come in, so that's nice. We'd love to have you try it out. Since it's on code, you can do it on Mac, Linux, PC. If you have any ideas, again, you know, feel free to send us some contributions or some bugs, and we'll do what we can to kind of help you out. Again, this is, I want to make this clear, this is not my job. This is something that I learned that I did in order to do my job better, to give the world better, you know, reference documentation for the Azure SDKs. This is something that the four of us have been doing in our spare time. So I don't know how much traction you'll see on it, but I do want to stress that, you know, it's open source. We'd love to have your contributions to it. We'd love to get better and better at it.
So. Great. And what was your Twitter handle again, in case people want to
Brady
reach out?
Brady Gaster.
Perfect.
So, yeah, you can find me on Twitter. That's not me.
No more unknown web pages or anything like that.
Why is that even in my... There we go. So there's me. This was a funny picture from yesterday. And there's all my MIDI gear, which you still have to come over and play with. And there's my lovely daughter.
She walrus.
All right. Cool. Well, Brady, thanks again for coming in and joining us again.
Thanks a lot.
I'm sure we'll have you again back maybe in 2018. We'll see. I don't know. Everybody out there, thanks for watching. Make sure to follow us at Cloud Cover Show, and we will see you next time.
See you, everyone.
Take care.